sector. Farmers are working hard for every bushel, and their trusted advisors are by their side. Find the Scoop Podcast wherever you find podcasts so you are up to date on everything ag retail.
Coverage varies by plan, view contracts, and exclusions at endurancewarranty.com.
This is an announcement to all United States vehicle owners who own a 2003 or newer vehicle with a manufacturer's warranty about to expire, or no warranty coverage at all. With a struggling economy and the cost of living on the rise, Endurance is now offering an affordable, low-cost vehicle coverage plan to the general public. As of today, you could be one of millions of drivers that now may qualify to have your vehicle protected under this coverage and have all future covered auto repairs paid directly to the repair shop for you. You pick your plan. You pick your deductible. You even pick the repair shop. Roadside service, towing, and rental coverage is included. Get your vehicle protected now and save your wallet from costly vehicle repairs. A toll-free number has been established for you to call for your free 5-minute quote and to see if you qualify. The number to call is 800-247-1146. 800-247-1146. Again, that's 800-247-1146.
You're listening to WRDN, 1430 AM, Durand Mondovi, Wabasha, and 107.3 FM at Translator W297CH, Durand.
This is a special report from ABC News. I'm Mike Dubusky. Authorities are investigating today's shooting at an Army base in Georgia. The gunman at Fort Stewart was an Army sergeant who was arrested on a DUI charge earlier this year. Five other soldiers were hospitalized in the incident, including two who are currently being treated at a level one trauma center about an hour away in Savannah. Van Johnson is the mayor of that city.
I spoke with the lieutenant colonel upon this happening while he was still locked down. I spoke with the Liberty County chairman. I spoke with the mayor of Hinesville. I've offered whatever support we can give them. We're all one community.
Officials say the shooting took place at the 2nd Armored Brigade Combat Team area.
This is specifically a combat unit. We should also point out that even within combat units, there are a lot of logistical support, a lot of companies, a lot of units as well that are associated with it.
ABC's Louis Martinez at the Pentagon. This is ABC News. Stanford University says it will be laying off thousands of employees.
Days after UCLA said some medical research would be stopped because of the Trump administration pulling grants, now Stanford University says due to federal policy changes, it will cost Stanford $140 million. It will lay off over 300 employees. Layoffs take effect on September 30th. The federal government is slashing money for research grants and higher education funding and is increasing taxes on university endowments. Alex Stone, ABC News.
Norwegian police have confirmed an American journalist who went missing in bad weather was found alive this morning. 38-year-old Eric Loon was on a solo hike around a glacier in a remote national park. Loon worked for The Guardian, The New York Times, and The Atlantic and was reported missing on Monday to Norwegian authorities after he did not appear for a scheduled flight from Bergen to England. Officials say he appeared to be in good condition other than a foot injury. I'm Mike Dubusky, ABC News.
With Progressive, you can reach customer service in the way that's easiest for you, by phone, app, or online. We know it would be great if we just magically appeared, but that's more of a genie thing, and we do insurance. But with us, you'd be like, well, it wasn't a genie, but it was great customer service, so that's nice. And sure, you probably would still like the whole three wishes thing, so if you meet a genie, you should definitely ask. But when you need us, contact Progressive by phone, app, or online. Just no genies. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates.
If Twisted Tea Hard Iced Tea was your best friend, it would be the kind of friend that starts an impromptu dance party in the supermarket aisle, that turns into an all-day pool party rager at your place, and you don't even own a pool. Twisted Tea Hard Iced Tea turns any day into a legendary adventure. It's smooth and refreshing real iced tea with just the right kick of alcohol. Twisted Tea Hard Iced Tea. Keep it twisted.
Twisted Tea Brewing Company, Cincinnati, Ohio. Please drink responsibly.
Wisconsin Radio Network News, I'm Ted Aylin. The vaccination rate for school-aged children in Wisconsin has dropped to 86.4%. That's down from 89.3% last year. Wisconsin Department of Health Services Chief Medical Officer Dr. Ryan Westergaard says the number of students behind on vaccinations continues to go up.
For about the past 10 years, there has been an increase in those categories. From about 2019, it goes up pretty significantly, and the number behind schedule now was 3.8% in 2024-25.
Westergaard says vaccination rates for measles needs to be at least 95% to provide herd immunity. A three-day trial has been delayed for a Jordanian man accused of raping a central Wisconsin woman.
Mohammed Al-Siori is accused of forcing himself on the woman who he married under Sharia law, though no legal record of the marriage exists in the U.S. courts. According to the woman, she turned down his sexual advances, but that didn't stop him. She later submitted to a rape kit at a hospital. Further investigation showed the 37-year-old had a wife and children back in his home nation. He may have been trying to marry a woman in Canada as well. The trial is now scheduled for late September. Al-Siori faces decades in prison and $300,000 in fines if found guilty. Mike Leishner, Wisconsin Radio Network.
An expansion at Eli Lilly in Kenosha County will be getting support from Wisconsin.
Governor Tony Evers announced Tuesday the pharmaceutical company will qualify for $100 million in tax credits based on future performance. Eli Lilly announced the expansion last December and plans to spend $4 billion to add 323,000 square feet of space by building and redeveloping vacant land and a warehouse. The expansion is expected to add 750 jobs to the community, plus the 2,000 temporary construction jobs to complete the project. Raymond Newport, Wisconsin Radio Network.
You've got so much glorious summer to fill. What are you going to do with it? Easy answer, do it your way at MOA. Do it up with Nickelodeon Universe's Ultimate Summer Party, Dora's 25th Anniversary Celebration, slimy fun events and hair-raising rides. Do Crayola Experience for the littlest ones. And here's a bright idea. Do it smart with MOA attraction bundles and the no-worries 72 degrees and sunny forecast every day. That's your summer, your way, at MOA, mallofamerica.com.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. More clouds than sunshine today, and chances for scattered drizzle. As a warm front pushes through the state, we become warm and muggy. Highs today reaching the mid-80s, and by tomorrow, the upper 80s. More showers and thunderstorms are expected overnight, with waves of them tomorrow, too. Looking for a great place to live, stay, shop, and play? Check out Worthington, Minnesota. It's worth a look. It's 80 degrees at our studios.
Now, here's your host, Jesse Allen.
And good to have you with us for a new episode of AOA, Agriculture of America. Glad you could be here and join us once again for the conversation. I'm your host, Jesse Allen. Coming up on the show today, we're going to talk markets in just a moment with Christy Van On. She sits with Van On and Company. In segment two, we're going to hear from DTN Environmental Editor Todd Neely, a number of stories that he is tracking here over the last several weeks, and it'll be good to talk with Todd again and get a rundown of some of those key news headlines. That's coming up in segment two. And then in the back half of the show today, we're going to sit down for a conversation about filling the connectivity gap in rural America. It's one thing to get rural broadband and things of that nature, but what about connecting your whole farm as we start to see the adoption of more smart technologies and advanced tech across the farm and so much more? Looking forward to this conversation with Mike Rohde, the CEO of Emergent Connects. He's going to join us again for that in-depth conversation, some of the things that their company is doing to try and help that whole farm connectivity in rural America. We'll get to that coming up in the back half of today's AOA. Let's get things started and talk markets with Christy Van On. She sits with Van On and Company. Christy, welcome back to the show. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing good. As we were talking, you know, working through the dog days of summer, July, busy, and getting into August now. I know a lot of folks are not loving the market situation on the grain side right now. I guess that's probably the nicest way I could put it. What's your feelings here, especially with corn? You got Dees corn flirting with that $4 handle here on the futures trade. I mean, what are you tracking right now, Christy?
Yeah, this is the time frame of my job. I become more of a therapist than actually talking about marketing. I mean, this is like tough, right? Because this is a summer that did not provide the best opportunity for guys to market. You had that early opportunity around that four, you know, you got up to 469 and a half. So you had that opportunity at 70 cents away. So I don't want to say it wasn't an opportunity, but at the time, given the carryouts that we had and kind of the situation around the market, it was hard to do a ton of marketing there. And so now you're sitting here with a lot of guys that are undersold, same situation in soybeans. You know, to be honest, I really have not had an opportunity to do much marketing at break even. Now, that's not being said that you shouldn't market at all. But the break evens are rather high on soybeans this year for a lot of my producers. And so it just has not given a ton of opportunity around the market either. And so now we're sitting here, like you said, in those dog days of summer and looking at the markets and saying, what now? Dease corn is on $4. We have sub $10 beans right now. And you know what? I just think that this market is digesting as much bearish information as possible, that eventually we're going to get past this, right? You're going to stop talking about the really big yields. You're going to start talking about how hot corn demand is. Hopefully we can continue to see some trade deals that actually include agriculture, that have some details behind them. And then I think this market can move on, but we have to get to that point yet. And I'm wondering, you know, when is that point? I think that point could be pro farmer. I know pro farmer is a hot topic with a lot of individuals, but it's very insightful to be able to see kind of what you're seeing out there in so many areas, because we have a lot of satellite imagery right now. We know how green, how lush everything is, that this is going to be a good data set. So whether you like the information or not, whether it's a high yield, low yield, it gives us something to build off of. And seasonally, we start to get to a time frame where we find this bottom in corn. And if we could just kind of taper the really big yield estimates, I think that you could work through the situation and say, hey, even on a yield that is 10 bushel over last year's record, you're still in a manageable carryout for corn. Is it a big carryout? Yeah, it's over 2 billion bushel, but it's still manageable and corn demand is really hot. So I, you know, just try not to get too depressed about the current situation, because this actually does provide quite a bit of opportunity for a lot of things. For example, we're starting to look at some calls out to the March timeframe for corn. We do feel like this 385 to 395 level should hold off Dease. That, you know, starting that process of getting some calls, some courage calls, I don't think are a bad idea. Looking at the carries in the market, right? 18 cents from Dease to March, 35 and three quarters from Dease to July. Those are large carries. Taking advantage of those if you have some HTAs or some futures fixed at the elevator. I think those are all opportunities that are out there right now. And it's really hard to, you know, shove those emotions aside. But, you know, these price levels do give us some opportunity.
Well, I know, I mean, just across the entire grain complex, wheat's been a dog, soybeans, you know, have broken down here below 10 on the board. I mean, just this whole picture, to the point you just said, got to put emotion aside. I know that a lot of producers, it's going to come down to the feeling I'm getting and the talk I'm hearing, Christy, is that bushels that have to go to town are going to go to town this fall. And then a lot of everything else is going to get stored, is the talk I'm hearing right now.
Yeah, that's what I'm hearing too. And I think, you know, I feel like that's what the market's feeling as well, because if you've paid attention to bean basis, it has absolutely got smashed over the last 2 weeks for harvest delivery beans. And I think we're just at that point where end users, elevators are looking at this crop and saying, this is a really big crop. Guys are not marketed where they should be. We have a feeling we're going to get a lot of beans at harvest so they can store the corn. And we have just seen that bean basis completely fall apart. It's been disastrous to see some of these levels. These are levels I have not seen in quite some time for a bean basis, just because crush has been able to kind of keep basis in check. But I just think you don't have a lot of those bookings off the PNW. So this western side of Corn Belt is struggling to a degree, because a lot of those beans go that direction. And crush has been phenomenal, but it can't make up for everything at this point.
What about over in the cattle complex? Let's touch on that a little bit. I mean, we've had another solid week to the upside in futures. What's your feeling in this cattle trade right now, Christy?
Yeah, if last Thursday did not scare the crap out of you as a livestock producer, you gotta take that and remember what it felt to see futures down limit for feeder cattle and close to that for live cattle. The general consensus around the market is everything is so absolutely friendly for cattle markets, but that does not mean that you can't have some sort of black swan or some sort of issue to take $20 off this market. And so I just think that making sure you're prepared, making sure you're rolling up puts, making sure, you know, I personally still wouldn't do anything marginal when it comes to cattle, to be honest, they scare me. But just making sure you have that bottom line in there, I think is so smart right now for feeder cattle and live cattle, because you just never know. And you're getting to a point where you're like, gosh, what else could we get that's very, very friendly for cattle? And, you know, we keep finding those friendly stories. So never say never, but just be prepared and make sure you're doing some sort of risk management here.
Final 30 seconds. Anything else you're watching in the markets this week?
Yeah, you know, we touched on basis. I think that's such a huge thing. If you have bushels that need to go to the elevator, call the elevator right now. Talk to them about basis, because I have a feeling with this crop coming, it could get pretty disastrous post-harvest. I think you could be able to see a quick rebound on that basis, especially corn into that December, January timeframe. But if those bushels are going to town at harvest, I know it's not what you want to talk about right now, but I would get ahead of that.
Christy, if folks want to reach out for a conversation, how can they get in touch?
You can call us at 1-800-648-5494.
Christy Van On, she says, with Van On & Company. Always good to hear from you. Thanks for joining us on the show. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Jesse.
Coming up next on AOA, we're going to talk with DTN Environmental Editor Todd Neely. He'll join us after the break on AOA Agriculture of America.
Cats are masters at using up their 9 lives, like chasing laser pointers into walls or jumping onto high shelves. But the one thing cats never do? Text while driving. So be like a cat and protect your one and only life. Don't text and drive.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
We arrived at the scene, and the job, like everyone before, was executed flawlessly, leaving us with more questions than answers.
It was time to bring in the big guns.
You don't mean.
Yeah, John Deere bale documentation.
All the data, one location. It was the answer to everything. Visit johndeere.com/bale documentation for more information.
If your credit card bills have gotten out of hand, call Consolidated Credit now. If the interest rates on your credit cards are so high, it'll take years to get out of debt, call Consolidated Credit now. They've helped over 10 million people. Without destroying your credit, they can reduce your interest rates, lower your total payments up to 50% to get you out of debt fast. For a free consultation, call Consolidated Credit now. The program works.
Call 800-489-9547. 800-489-9547. 800-489-9547.
Consolidated Credit Solutions Incorporated, 5701 West Sunrise Boulevard, Fort Lauderdale, Florida 33313. Licensed by the New York Department of Financial Services and by the Vermont Department of Financial Regulation. Kansas CSO 0019051. Maryland DM 1492. Oregon DM 892. Licensed by the Virginia State Corporation Commission. License number TC83. Service may adversely affect the individual's credit. Non-payment of debt may lead to additional finance charges or collections activity, including legal action. Actual interest rates, length of program, and monthly payment reductions will vary by consumer and creditor. Yours could be higher or lower. Not a loan company. We do not lend money.
Compeer Financial helped us get into our forever home.
They helped me expand more than acreage.
And helped our dairy grow for the next generation.
At Compeer Financial, we see potential in every plan. Our unique perspective finds solutions to your challenges. And our specially trained financial team guides you every step of the way. Partner with us to make your goals possible. Compeer.com. Compeer Financial ACA is an equal opportunity lender and equal opportunity provider. NMLS number 619731, copyright 2019, all rights reserved.
Life is better with American Family Insurance, because our agents provide specialized local expertise to help you get the right coverage at the right price. We understand that dairy farming is at the heart of what you do, and we want to help protect what you've worked so hard for. Let's build the policy your dairy farm deserves.
Contact Paul Slusher, your American Family Insurance agent serving Durand and Chippewa Falls.
American Family Mutual Insurance Company, SI, and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
Informing America's farmers and ranchers, AOA. Now back to Jesse Allen.
And as we continue here today on Agriculture of America, let's have a conversation with friend of the show, DTN Environmental Editor Todd Neely. Todd, good to hear from you again. How are things?
Doing well. How about you, Jesse?
Can't complain. Hard to believe that we are into the month of August already. It just feels like time is flying by. But, you know, I think that happens when the news cycle is staying so full and so busy. I think both of us could agree on that, Todd. There is just a lot going on that pertains to agriculture right now in so many different areas. And let's talk about a few of the things you've been covering. And we touched on this yesterday with Donnell Rehagen from Clean Fuels Alliance America. And I know you just wrote a piece about this study on RIN cuts for foreign feedstocks and what this could mean for biodiesel industry. Can you talk about that a little bit for us, Todd?
Yeah, sure, Jesse. You know, I think one of the interesting aspects, you know, we've been waiting for a while for an RFS proposal. And so once that was released, now there's all kinds of public comments coming in. The Advanced Biofuels Association, for example, put out a study at the end of July, I believe it was. They're calling for the 50% RINs proposal to be eliminated from the RFS proposal. And it's interesting because as part of this, if you look at their comments, they also call for the EPA to step up the number on the biomass-based diesel requirement, which EPA put out a proposal that had 5.61 billion gallons for that. And the ABFA is asking for that to be bumped up to 5.75, which is, in the scheme of things, that's quite a bump. But yeah, the study that this group put out, in particular, it looks at, you know, what would that mean to like U.S. feedstocks if 50%, if there was a cut in the, you know, foreign feedstocks that apply to RINs by 50%, what would that mean for U.S. feedstocks? And what the thing I thought was interesting in this is that basically they say the rule would effectively create a $250 to a $400 per metric ton premium for domestic feedstocks, which basically would mean is that U.S. producers would have to pay more for feedstocks. So it'll be interesting. I think it's quite possible that the administration is going to look at this a little closer and maybe it does come out of the proposal, because to this point, it's by far the most controversial aspect of the RVOs.
Well, and all the news that's been going on with the RFS and RVOs and so much more, you know, we've been getting some certainty here, Todd, and now it feels like we got to shift a little bit here. We're still clearing up a few of these things, but I think a lot of this focus is going to shift back to building out infrastructure across the Midwest. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I think that's fair. I think part of that would be if we get a little bit more direction on the 45Z tax credit, for example. I think that at least in biofuels, we have a lot of companies that are really raring to go, to build infrastructure, biofuels infrastructure. And I do think that, you know, there's something to be said for the fact that we're still waiting. Here we are in August and we've not seen a Treasury guidance on that particular issue. But yeah, for sure. I do think the opportunity in rural America is pretty great when it comes to infrastructure. We're not, you know, not just biofuels, but when we're talking about the basics of roads and bridges and other things that are in quite a need. So yeah, I would certainly agree with that sentiment.
I know a lot of action on Capitol Hill before we entered into the August recess. Proposition 12 back in the news once again. Here we go, talking about Prop 12 and potentially some legislative fixes, as they've been called, or changes to Proposition 12. What did you hear on that as we closed out the month of July?
Well, certainly, you know, we've seen the Trump administration. They filed a lawsuit against California on Prop 12 as it relates to eggs. What we're seeing lately is with the discussion of an upcoming farm bill. you know, there's a possibility that something's going to be in the farm bill that would essentially make it to where laws like Proposition 12 would only apply to producers within the states that they're effective. You know, I think the thing with Prop 12 is that obviously it's really put a stamp on the pork industry across the country in terms of, you know, how they want to see animal welfare, how the state of California wants to see animal welfare dealt with, not just in its own state, but effectively across the country. I do think that that's probably something that will be addressed in the farm bill. You know, and it makes some sense. You know, if you're going to have a law like Prop 12, it does seem appropriate that it would apply to the producers within that state. But yeah, so we're seeing that. And then I think that, you know, there might be obviously some more, you know, legislative ideas that come up between now and whenever a farm bill is dealt with. We're hearing rumbles that in September, that some of these things will be in the offering on the farm bill. So maybe there's more yet to come.
Yeah, I'm hearing some of those same rumbles as well, talking with folks in the know on Capitol Hill that, hey, we'll see some things here starting in September. We're talking with DTN Environmental Editor Todd Neely. I know the House Ag Committee also, before they headed out, passed the U.S. Grain Standards Act reauthorization. Talk about that a little bit. I know that was something that groups like the National Grain and Feed Association were very much wanting to see that get completed.
Yeah, for sure. You know, and that reauthorization is kind of working its way through Congress. I believe the Senate has had a hearing or two on that. And a lot of what's up for reauthorization is not just the measure itself, but obviously there's some other things in terms of modernization, you know, technological things that could help the industry. You know, this is a bipartisan act. So, I mean, it really does have it has a lot of support, and I do think that while it is working its way through Congress and, you know, there's a little bit of back and forth, at the moment, there's not really been any debate about whether it needs to be reauthorized. And so I think that's going to happen. In terms of a timeline, I don't know, but I certainly think that, you know, this act has a lot of stuff in it as it pertains to grain standards. You know, a lot of the things that the industry relies on greatly. And so I think it's going to get done. It's not really, I don't think it's really something that's all that heated of a debate. I'm sure maybe on the edges, there might be a few things that come up, but it sounds like it's really getting its way through Congress.
One other topic I want to ask you about here, final 2 minutes. And I know, you know, I think about the old days of the Big 8 or the Big 12 and a football rivalry between Nebraska and Colorado. But it sounds like we got another issue brewing between those two states and something not being waged on a football field, but in a courtroom. Talk to me about this. This issue between Nebraska and Colorado over water supply.
Yeah, you know, Jesse, we've been talking about this, you know, this compact between Nebraska and Colorado for a long time. It's not really anything new. I mean, what we're seeing now, the state of Nebraska has sued Colorado. They took it all the way to the Supreme Court because, you know, when there's issues involving states, you know, kind of a back and forth, it's the Supreme Court's jurisdiction to deal with it. Basically, in the South Platte River Compact, the state of Nebraska has been wanting to build what they call the Perkins County Canal Project, which dates back all the way to the 1890s. This has been something that's kind of been on again, off again. You know, there was a time where they were going to build this canal. And it's, you know, it would be a very long canal. We're talking 60 plus miles, you know, to assure water users in that region, that they have the supplies they need. Basically the lawsuit that was filed by Nebraska claims that Colorado's slow walking it. You know, they've done supposedly everything possible to not work with Nebraska on that project. And so, you know, obviously I think the state of Nebraska has had enough. And when you, when you take a matter like this, especially this compact, it goes back so many years. When you take a matter like that to the Supreme Court, I think this is where we might see one of the most interesting aspects of this back and forth that's been going on for decades.
DTNPF.com to read more on these stories and check out the work from Todd and the rest of the team there at DTN. Todd Neely, always good to talk with you, sir. Thanks for joining us on AOA today. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Jesse. Appreciate it.
DTN Environmental Editor Todd Neely with us here on the show today. Coming up next, we're going to have a conversation about rural broadband and filling the connectivity gap with Mike Rohde from Emergent right after this on AOA.
Wounded Warrior Project has been there for me since that first day in the hospital. They got me out of the house. They got me connected with other veterans, and they helped me face my PTSD. They support me and my family at every turn. And now I'm helping other warriors realize that they're not alone.
Through our hands-on programs, supportive community, and ongoing advocacy, we help post-9/11 veterans realize what's possible. Learn more at woundedwarriorproject.org/possible.
Don't risk losing the trusted news, traffic, sports, and weather you get from AM radio stations. It's time to make your voice heard. We need Congress to pass the AM Radio for Every Vehicle Act to keep AM radio in cars. When internet and cell services are out, AM could be your only lifeline. Text AM to 52886 and tell Congress to pass this critical legislation now.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to 4 messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
Tariffs will.
Well, now, which would you rather have? World-class seed genetics and traits, or seed that's been tested and proven to yield in your area? Well, with Pioneer, you get both, plus the support of a dedicated local team. For the unbeatable combination of elite seed genetics, local knowledge and insights, and rigorous local testing, contact the team at Bowers Seeds and Service, your local authorized Pioneer sales representative serving the Durand area. At Pioneer, our name is our mission, and what's next happens here.
Milk markets were mixed. With this WRDN market update, I'm Brian Winnekins. At the Mercantile Exchange, September and October milk up 8, September at 1845, October 1853, November down 1 to 1847, December steady at 1833. Triple-digit gains once again in the live and feeder cattle markets. It's pretty much the same story as the strong consumer demand. Also, the strong demand in the countryside and the packers having to pay higher prices is basically what's helping to support live and feeder cattle markets. Box beef prices were once again mostly higher. Hog markets were mostly lower. The resistance pressure took a hold of the lean hog complex as many of the contracts, with the exception of the nearby month, all were lower after reaching those resistance levels. August live cattle up 202 to 236.30. August feeder cattle up 397 to 345.02. August hogs up 10 cents to 108.87. Meanwhile, at the Chicago Board of Trade, corn, soybeans were mostly lower. Wheat was slightly higher. For corn and beans, it's pretty simple. The favorable weather forecast and good-looking crops are all helping to pressure the markets. There's also positioning ahead of the USDA's reports coming out in the crop report to raise corn and soybean yields. Wheat markets, though, they were mostly higher. Some short covering helping to support wheat prices. New crop corn down 3/4 to 401 1/4. New crop beans down 6 1/4 to 984 1/2, and September wheat up 1/4.
The drive-thru window is now open at J.M. Watkins Meats, serving hot coffee Monday through Friday from 5:30 a.m. to 5:30 p.m. and Saturdays from 7:30 to 2. J.M. Watkins Meats has an online store where you can order all of your favorite cuts of beef, pork, and lamb from local farmers for that Labor Day holiday get-together. Order for in-store pickup or order in advance and pick up at the drive-thru. Visit jmwatkinsmeats.com or visit them in person, 3 miles west of Plum City on Highway 10.
You're invited to the Pierce County Fair this Thursday through Sunday at the fairgrounds in Ellsworth. Enjoy the Light Up the Sky drone show Thursday night at 9. A salute to Elvis with Brad Boyce is Friday at 7. And the Big Demolition Derby is Saturday night at 5. Of course, there's all the commercial exhibits and fair animals. And Senior Day is Sunday. Enjoy rides and fair food with Mr. Ed's Carnival all 4 days. Food, fun, animals, and more during the Pierce County Fair, Thursday through Sunday in Ellsworth.
As farmers and ranchers need, AOA. Now, back to Jesse Allen.
let's talk about bridging the connectivity gap in rural America as we continue to see more need for internet connectivity and connectivity across the farm and ranch with new technology. How do we fill that gap? How do we fill that void? Well, Emergent is trying to help in that area. And here to tell us more about some of the work they are doing, he is the CEO of Emergent, Mike Rohde. Mike, it is great to talk with you, sir. Hope all is well.
I appreciate you having me here, Jesse.
Can you, just for starters, to give folks a background on the company, can you tell us a little bit more about Emergent?
Yeah, absolutely. So Emergent is a relatively new company in ag tech. The management team and the co-founders have been building connectivity networks for almost 40 years. But really what we have is we describe our company in three pillars. One is we are filling that connectivity gap. So we literally build networks. The network that we build uses a very specific type of IoT technology, and IoT is the Internet of Things. So I always like to say, when you're thinking about smart farming, precision ag, it's all the devices that are connected to the internet. And, you know, if you put the word smart in front of any noun, that literally means it's connected to the internet. So the IoT network we build uses a global standard technology called LoRaWAN. And I bring that up for one reason. It has two characteristics that make it perfect for the ag industry. One is LoRa stands for long range. So we could talk to devices that are miles away, as opposed to cellular, which is just a couple of miles. But in the Midwest, in a flat area, we could talk to a device that is 15, 20, sometimes 25 miles away. So that's really important. The second thing that's equally important for the same reason is this network operates in low power mode, meaning the device battery life lasts for years. It varies based on device, but you put a simple soil moisture sensor or a humidity sensor for a storage bin or a grain bin, and that device can last for a half a decade on a single charge, which is really important because, again, out in the farm, you get out into the farmlands, you can't drag extension cords over 2,000 acres. And that's really the network that we build, and we use that to fill those holes that plague the industry, right? That, you know, being the more rural, the more remote your networks are, the less likely you're going to have cellular across the entire farm. And we like to say, you know, technology only matters if it works on the entire farm, right? And I would argue that's one of the great barriers to ag tech adoption that we're trying to close. The second pillar of our business is we actually sell the whole IoT solution, because what we very quickly learned, especially in other parts of the industry, is nobody really buys connectivity. Even in your home, you don't wake up one morning and say, I'd like to buy more Wi-Fi. What you do buy are all the things that are enabled by the connectivity. You buy all those smart devices, your wireless doorbell cameras, your Nest thermostat, your Wi-Fi enabled garage door opener, which I didn't know existed until 3 months ago, because now I have one. and if you apply that to ag tech, all of these sensors that are out in the market is really what drives the ROI and the value creation for the farmer. They require connectivity. So we sell curated packages of sensors and connectivity, and we bundle them all up. But we will support anything a farmer has on their farm. But it's just really the way to open the conversation with an ag retailer, with a farmer. And then the third part of our business is all that technology is mildly interesting in their first two silos. But when you bring it all together in a single visual platform so that a farmer, a rancher, a grower can see everything that's going on their farm, on a single monitor like we're talking on now. And we call that product our Field Vision product, that really just gives you an integrated look at everything that's going on. And then we allow the devices themselves to talk to each other, right? If a motion sensor in a room or a storage bin goes off, you can then take action using other sensors. And that's really where the magic happens.
It's an interesting thing to think about. I think a lot of times, and I've had many conversations on this program about the rural broadband issues that are out there and just the need for revitalizing, expanding that infrastructure. But really, Mike, what we're talking about goes even farther beyond that. It's one thing to get high-speed internet connectivity to the farmhouse somewhere on the end of a gravel road in the middle of Nebraska. But it's another thing to be able to use all of this
smart technology and all these pieces that could make the job of farming and ranching easier across a farm that might be 10, 15, 25, 50 miles, square miles, et cetera, et cetera. So it's almost like you got one piece of just the rural broadband issue, but then it's taking it a step further to get this connectivity, right?
Jesse, that's exactly right. And that really is how Emergent was founded. And the reason why Emergent was founded by our two co-founders, David Albert and Greg Jarman, because they started in the rural broadband piece. And then when we all hooked up together, we actually came to the very quick conclusion that we're all, you know, all the initiatives around rural broadband, and they all really stem from the pandemic of COVID. There's not a lot of good things that came out of COVID, but one of the really good things was the amount of government subsidies that poured into extending rural broadband in the communities. But really what that focused on was bringing rural broadband to the home, or in the case of the ag industry, to the farm gate. And that's insanely important. You know, there is a place for that. You know, they just, we couldn't be having this interview if we didn't have rural broadband or broadband in general available to us to have this interview over the internet. But what it didn't address was the connectivity over the field, right? So rural broadband literally stops, and frankly, from a, you know, not to get into legal definitions, but all of those initiatives that were providing that funding stopped at the home or the farm gate. And so what we've done at Emergent is we are using that rural broadband and the expansion of it to bring all that data back to our network. But what we're really focused on is connecting the first acre. So we like to say things like, you know, rural broadband is all about getting broadband to the last mile in the rural community, and then Emergent connects the first acre, the second acre, and then ultimately the last acre. And then we ensure that when we build our network, that the farmer has ubiquitous coverage all over his farm. Hence our point on, like, technology is really compelling when it works everywhere. And the only thing worse than not having access to the technology is having access to a small portion or even a large portion, but then you got this big gap over a really important part of your business. It would be no different than, you know, either in our homes or offices, if there were parts of our houses or our offices that you didn't have Wi-Fi connection, or and we've all experienced this where you don't have cellular connection in some, you know, the basement of your home or some part of your office because you're like really deep in the building, and it's a problem. And that's really what we focus on solving. And our, the Emergent Connects Network, which is our branded name, you know, we will work, we deploy our own network, that LoRa network we were talking about. But if a farmer has cellular access on parts of his farms, if they have cellular devices, we'll incorporate that right into our platform, because our we believe our job is to give the farmer a holistic solution. So, you know, we're not here to dictate, hey, you have to use this network or this protocol. You know, I've been in the telecom industry for 40 years, almost 40 years. And the one thing I say to people is that in the telecom industry, there are all kinds of communication technologies that coexist next to each other. You have fiber, you have broadband, mm-hmm. you know, you have what we call DOCSIS or cable broadband. You have satellite, and there's a role for all of those. And where we get into trouble is when we try to shoehorn the same solution into every application, because this is what causes the dilemma in rural America, is that bringing fiber out into these rural footprints gets incredibly expensive, and therefore nobody does it. And that's what causes the gap. So our belief is, look, we will build the network. We're committed to doing that. But we're also going to work with all these other technologies so that the user, and in this case, the farmer, grower, rancher, has a complete solution and has all the tools that somebody in a big city has. That's really what we get passionate about.
Emergent CEO Mike Rohde is with us as we talk about bridging that connectivity gap in rural America. And I may be oversimplifying this a little bit, but it's almost as if you think about, you know, you have your Wi-Fi router in your home, and that's the center, that's the hub of your activity to give you the coverage in your home. It's almost kind of like you guys are taking that and plopping a router, quote unquote, or connectivity in the middle of the farm, essentially, is what it kind of boils down to. If I'm oversimplifying that a little bit, Mike.
Yeah, it's simplified, but I actually use that analogy. I like to say, you know, what the IoT network that we build, that we deploy is Wi-Fi on steroids. And there's some key, there's some really key differences that are worth mentioning. Number one, the way we build our network is we actually partner with people in the industry like rural internet service providers who already have cell towers. They already have power at the base station of a cell tower. And they have what we call backhaul, which is their actual internet backbone. We will partner with them. And then what we do is we put that router, we call them gateways. It's in a, it's a carrier grade industrial strength router. And we mount it at 100 feet in the air. So it has really broad coverage. And then that's how we provide the service. And that, that gateway or that router can talk to a device that's 15, 20, sometimes 25 miles away. But your analogy is spot on. That is precisely what we do. What's really important to understand the differences is this IoT network that we deploy is what we call carrier grade, which means it's incredibly high capacity. We can handle thousands and thousands of simultaneous devices connecting. And then another really important attribute, which is different than Wi-Fi, is it is highly secure. That data from the gate, from the device to the gateway, is encrypted using 128-bit encryption keys. So a farmer's data is safe. Unlike Wi-Fi, where we, you have public Wi-Fi, that is wide open, and it's what we call best effort. Like if too many people are on, then Jesse, you can't get on until somebody gets off. We guarantee the capacity when we sell our services to our farmer. There is no issue that they need to worry about that they'll have service at the most busy time of the day.
All right, we'll continue our conversation with Mike Brody from Emergent here on AOA right after this.
Did you know?
Hey, it's Crash Gladys from Speed Freaks. Are you still paying full price for gas? Stop leaving money behind. Get real cash back every time you fill up with the free Upside app. Simply download the free Upside app in the App Store or Google Play right now and start earning cash at the pump today. Use limited time promo code SUMMER and get an extra 25 cents back per gallon on your first fill up. Listeners are making $200 to $300 a year just from buying the gas they already needed. Don't wait. Download the free Upside app now and use promo code SUMMER to redeem your 25 cent per gallon bonus. That's promo code SUMMER. Yeah, at first I thought it was too good to be true, but it's completely legit. Plus, you can cash out anytime. Don't let this offer drive on by. Download the free Upside app now by using limited time promo code SUMMER. That's promo code SUMMER for a limited time 25 cents per gallon bonus. Offers vary by user and location. Go to upside.com for terms and conditions.
Lanny went to college and racked up huge debt.
A little bit over $100,000.
For a degree he couldn't use? Now what?
I had a friend that went to my computer career.
They even helped him get hired immediately after graduation.
One of the things I love about IT is that you can work from anywhere you want.
You could become an IT pro in just months, including cybersecurity and the basics of AI, with zero experience at mycomputercareer.edu.
It worked for me, and I know it can work for you.
This is one student's experience. Individual results vary.
If Ernest Hemingway was alive today, would he say this to you?
Shakespeare, Mark Twain, Edgar Allan Poe, all great writers. And after reading your book, I simply must add you to the list.
Wait, you don't have a book yet. So make a free call to Page Publishing. Turn your book idea into publishing gold.
800-215-6818. 800-215-6818. That's 800-215-6818.
And the job, like everyone before, was executed flawlessly, leaving us with more questions than answers.
It was time to bring in the big guns.
You don't mean.
Yeah.
John Deere bale documentation. All the data, one location. It was the answer to everything. Visit johndeere.com/bale documentation for more information.
Nobody had to tell your grandparents not to drive while using their typewriters. Why should it be any different for us kids and our cell phones? Distracted driving was the cause of more than 3,000 deaths in 2022. Come on, we're smarter than this. Let's put down the phones and focus on the roads. Drive safe, everybody.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
If you don't have final expense life insurance, this message is for you.
LifeCare provides valuable information about whole life insurance to help cover final expenses, medical bills, burial costs, and other final expenses. Enrollment is fast and available to anyone between the ages of 50 and 80. No medical exam, no lengthy questionnaires, and no waiting period. Just answer a few questions and we will do the rest. With the average funeral costing $9,420 and Social Security only paying $255, you need simple peace of mind for you and your whole family. Don't leave behind unpaid expenses. Your premium will never increase. Your policy will have a cash value and a death benefit that can never decrease. To find out how you can get final expense life insurance with a lifetime lock, call 800-260-7322. That's 800-260-7322. 800-260-7322.
When news happens in agriculture or when the markets are moving, we've got you covered as your trusted voice in agriculture. The team at the American Ag Network has the knowledge and experience to keep you informed on the issues impacting farmers and ranchers. We've got you covered on air, online, and on demand. Find the American Ag Network on your favorite social media platforms and also follow the American Ag Today podcast wherever you get your podcasts. We are the American Ag Network.
Make sure to subscribe to the Market Talk YouTube channel. You can watch our latest interviews with top market analysts in the country, find bonus content, and much more. It's easy. Just go to youtube.com/@MarketTalkAg and hit the subscribe button. Or you can search for Market Talk Ag on YouTube.
Get the latest bonus interviews, exclusive content, and more with the American Ag Today podcast. Just search for American Ag Today and give us a follow wherever you get your podcasts.
Information America's farmers and ranchers need. AOA. Now, back to Jesse Allen.
We're talking whole farm connectivity and rural broadband with Mike Rohde, CEO of Emergent Connects. And I'd love your perspective on this, Mike, because I feel like with all the advancements we've seen with smart farming and ag tech and all the different products that are being created and that are already available to try and make our jobs on the farm and ranch easier, connected livestock, connected crops, you name it, all these things that are out there, but yet for us to get to that next chapter, it's almost like if we don't catch up with the connectivity piece, it would almost make it harder to implement some of these smart farming types of products and techniques unless we, you know, play catch up with the connectivity side of this.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. And so I use an analogy or tell a story that, you know, being from the telecom industry, I'm not from the ag industry. When I look as, you know, the outsider looking in, what's kind of interesting about this industry is it kind of went straight to the ag tech and it kind of skipped the foundation part, which is you need to have consistent and persistent internet connectivity. It can come in all shapes and sizes, like I said before. It can come from different places and have different protocols, but it has to be available. Internet, all the wonderful things we do on the internet today in our personal lives didn't really happen until it was widely available in our communities, because then people start developing technology, they start developing, you know, in the personal world, we start developing apps, then all of a sudden Netflix happens and you're like, holy cow, I could watch a high def movie from my home. That's not what the internet was built for, but then really smart people started working on it. And now, lo and behold, today you could buy a car or you could buy a tractor on the internet and know the price to the penny before you step in a store. That was never the intent. And I think ag tech is kind of in a similar place in that the industry kind of skipped to, hey, we got these really great ideas on the technology, and nobody really said, oh, by the way, what are we going to connect to? So a lot of really unnatural things happen. Farmers were required to build their own networks. Hey, you got to get the connectivity out here, or this stuff you just bought won't work. That's a horrible experience, right? Or then those ag tech companies that wanted to sell their solutions would start deploying their own connectivity. And again, then what you end up with is these incredibly fragmented solutions. And then you get what we talk about a lot today are these like silos where data can't be shared across platforms and solutions don't talk to each other. Because we just saw one of these the other day where a farmer had four or five different ag tech solutions, and they all had their own protocol, their own communicating protocol, which honestly makes no sense. I understand why it happened. It happened out of necessity, but it really de-leverages the industry. So what we believe, and the reason why we're so passionate about this, is we want to solve that first problem. And then once you solve the first problem, which is ensuring that a farmer, when he wakes up in the morning, he goes, yeah, I'm confident I have connectivity on my farm, so I can go have conversations about this really cool ag tech I see to show. And I know it's going to work. And that's really what we're trying to solve for. Not the easiest problem to solve, but we want to make sure that a farmer has the same experience that a consumer does in their hometown, where they know that if I buy this connected app, or I buy a Ring doorbell camera, that I have Wi-Fi in my house and it's going to connect. And that, until that happens, all that other ag tech, I'm not going to say it's not valuable, but you are not maximizing the value of that technology unless it works on every acre of that farm.
Such an interesting perspective and things to think about. Mike, before we close out the conversation, anything final you would leave folks anything you would reiterate to them here today?
Yeah, look, I think there is an absolute technology revolution coming to agriculture. You know, many other industries, if you think about where manufacturing is, just, you know, in general, they use terms like manufacturing 4.0, like they've done this three other times, right? And they have robots that can screw up, you know, a nut on a John Deere tractor while it continues to move down its tracks. The ag industry, the farmers, the base of the industry, they haven't gone through that revolution yet. There's bits and pieces of it. You know, a statistic that everybody quotes, and I think it's very true, is when you look at the industry, ag tech has only been deployed on, roughly speaking, about 25% of all farms. And one of the key reasons for that is that lack of connectivity, that consistent connectivity. So when that gets solved, either by companies like Emergent or other companies, if we don't do our jobs right, I think it's going to revolutionize the industry. And the one thing that I would say in closing on this is, when you go to tech shows, we were just in Tech Hub Live last week, and it's a spectacular show. But now everybody's talking about, like, how do we use AI? And I think that is a fascinating world, because I saw this stat that blew my mind, is every growing season, more than 4 million data points comes off a farm. So it's impossible for a human being to process all of that. You're going to need AI engines and applications that do that. But if you don't have access to that real-time data to get it into whatever technology you're using, you're never going to get to the promised land. And I think that's why it's so important that we kind of focus on the unsexy part of this, which is, hey, we need coverage on every square inch of a customer's office. And in the case of a farmer, his office is his fields or his ranches.
EmergentConnect.com is where you can get more information. Yes, Emergent CEO Mike Rohde, great conversation. Thanks for joining us. We'll look forward to having you back on the show again soon, Mike. Appreciate
it. Absolutely, Jesse. Thanks for having me. Take care.
Mike Rohde, CEO of Emergent Connects. And again, that's a very interesting conversation that I think folks need to definitely think about as we add more smart farming, ag tech, etc., across the whole farm. Really interesting stuff. Appreciate Mike being with us here today. We are out of time on AOA. Coming up on tomorrow's program, we're going to hear from Jed Bauer with the National Corn Growers Association. We'll also get an update on the latest Purdue University Ag Economy Barometer with Dr. Jim Mintert. We'll talk markets with Jim McCormick from agmarket.net. Thanks for joining us on AOA. Have a good day. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
My neighbor invited me to a Wounded Warrior Project event. I didn't know what to expect, but it felt like everyone understood me. We got each other. So I got more involved, I joined support groups with other women warriors, and it helped me realize a new purpose in my life.
Through our hands-on programs, supportive community, and ongoing advocacy, we help post-9/11 veterans realize what's possible. Learn more at woundedwarriorproject.org/possible.
Agriculture is a busy job, and it requires you to constantly be on the go. That's why Farm and Ranch Media and our brands, American Ag Network, AOA, and Market Talk, are here to provide you with the latest news and information that impacts your operation. We'll keep you up to date with the latest market information, ag news, weather, and more from here at home and around the world. Thanks for listening, and stay farm informed with Farm and Ranch Media.
Vision loss is not something that you feel until it happens.
Most people lose their vision from diseases like macular degeneration and glaucoma, not at birth.
With macular degeneration, you lose your central vision.
If you're 55 or older and into that whole saving money thing, T-Mobile has an exclusive phone and internet bundle just for you. Right now, get two unlimited phone lines plus 5G home internet for just $30 each per month with autopay, plus taxes and fees. And with 5G home internet, setup is easy with just one cord and no technician needed. Which is great if you're also into that whole keeping it simple thing. Switch now and experience the best mobile network in the U.S. Visit your local store to start saving. T-Mobile, it's better over here.
Based on analysis by Ookla Speed Test Intelligence data, Q4 2024 to Q1 2025, Ookla trademarks used under license. Unlimited on our network. Customers on voice plan may notice speeds lower than other customers and further reduction if using more than 50 gigs a month due to data prioritization. Video streams and SD on this plan. Home internet pricing after $20 a monthly bill credit plus $5 per line without autopay. Debit or bank account required. See 5G device coverage and access details at T-Mobile.com.
Real Country 1430 AM Stereo, WRDN, Durand, Downsville, Pepin, and 107.3 FM. Translator W297CH Durand.
This is a special report from ABC News. I'm Mike Dubusky. The suspect in today's shooting at an Army base in Georgia has been identified.